Welcome to Shaped by Scripture, a series designed to help you plant God's Word deep in your heart so it can transform your life. Every episode, we'll walk with you through God's Word, guiding you to memorize, understand, and apply Scripture in a way that strengthens your faith and shapes your daily walk with Christ. Here, we believe that when God's Word takes root in your heart, it changes everything from the way you think, to the way you live, to the way you love others. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and let's journey together as we are shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, pastor at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and I'm grateful you've chosen to spend this part of the day with us. This podcast is designed to walk alongside the Shaped by Scripture Bible Memory and Understanding Plan. Each week, we slow down, reflect deeply, and talk honestly about how Scripture shapes how we live. So whether you're listening on your commute, during a break, or even in a quiet moment, my prayer is that this conversation helps you treasure God's Word and trust Him more fully. This week's theme is the joy of generosity from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The verse says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." That verse, it's familiar to many. It's quoted often, especially when the topic of giving comes up in church, but familiarity can sometimes cause us to miss just how radical, freeing, and joy-filled this verse truly is. Today, I want us to slow down and rediscover something important. God does not want your giving to be driven by guilt, pressure, or fear. Let me say that again, because I think that sometimes when we are talking about giving within the setting of the local church or within a not-for-profit, sometimes we believe or sense that when we talk about giving, the emotions that surface are often guilt or pressure or fear. But the reality that we're going to discover today from this verse is that God doesn't want our giving to be driven by any of those, not by guilt or pressure or fear. Rather, He wants our generosity to be marked by joy. And there's a reason for that. To really understand 2 Corinthians 9, 7, we need to remember what's happening in this passage. So let me give you a little context. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Corinth about a collection being taken for believers in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there's Christians who were suffering deeply from poverty and famine and persecution. Because of their faith in that culture and setting of Judaism, they were facing significant hardships. Socially, they were being pushed out from their traditional circles. Economically, they were suffering as a form of persecution, and they were suffering additional persecution. Now, when Paul calls the church to give to those believers in Jerusalem, he wasn't starting a fundraiser built on emotional manipulation, and he definitely wasn't saying give or else. Instead, Paul's painting a picture of gospel-shaped generosity, a generosity that's rooted in grace, motivated by love, and overflowing with joy. In fact, just one chapter earlier, Paul points to the Macedonian church. The Macedonian churches, we need to know, were extremely poor. They would be poverty-stricken in our contemporary language. But they were people who gave generously beyond their means because their hearts had been captured by the grace of God. Now, that's the backdrop for verse 7, and it tells us something important. Generosity is not first a financial issue. Generosity is at first a heart issue. So let's break down the verse to understand it with even greater clarity. Let's walk through this slowly. Each one must give as his heart, as he has decided in his heart. Notice that Paul emphasizes intentionality. Christian generosity, it's thoughtful, it's prayerful, and it's personal. Giving isn't supposed to be purely impulsive or pressured. It's something we decide before the Lord, guided by Scripture, shaped by wisdom, and informed by our faith. This means generosity looks different for different people, but it always flows from a surrendered heart. The next part of the verse is that we're not to give with reluctancy or under compulsion. This is where many people feel tension. Reluctant giving is giving that feels heavy, like something's being taken from you. Compelled giving is given driven by pressure, a fear of judgment or a fear of disapproval or even a fear of being seen unfaithful. So reluctance, again, is it's like something's being taken from us. We don't want to give it, but we feel like we don't have a choice, so it's being taken from us. Compelled giving is when there's a fear associated, whether somebody's judging you or someone's going to disapprove of you, or you're going to cast yourself as being perhaps unfaithful. I think that motivated a lot of people in several churches where they still pass the plate. People feel compelled to give something, and so folks will stick their hand in their pocket and grab out whatever they can get to, and they'll give it, not necessarily giving out of joy, but giving out of compulsion. They feel compelled to give, lest the people look around at them and say, oh, well, that cheapskate didn't give anything. Paul says plainly, that's not what God desires. God does not need your money, and he does not delight in reluctant obedience. Which leads us to the heart of the verse, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful here comes from the Greek word hilaros. It's where we get our word hilarious. It means joyful, glad, eager, freely given. In other words, God loves generosity that flows from delight, not duty. He loves generosity that flows from delight, not duty. Our giving should be hilarious. And that's a strange use of the words in our English language, because we think we don't want our giving to be laughable. We want our hearts to be filled with joy when we give. We want to enjoy giving and take joy in giving. We want to laugh and have it stir in us an extraordinary gratitude that we are able to give. So why does generosity in particular bring joy? First, because generosity aligns our hearts with God's heart. Scripture tells us over and over that God is generous. He gives us life, he gives us grace, he gives us mercy, he gives us forgiveness, and ultimately, he gives us his son. When we give generously, we're reflecting the very character of God. Just this morning, before I came to the office to record this podcast, I was having a conversation with my wife, Carly, and I was just reflecting based on some experiences that I had earlier this week with a number of people going through very deep crisis. I was just explaining to her how the Lord had really brought to the surface of my mind and really brought to the surface of my heart a new sense of gratitude about how generous he's been to me and to my family. We have a beautiful family. I have a great marriage. I have wonderful children. We live in a comfortable, secure home. And there's so much that God has given us. And then I think in my prayer times about how gracious the Lord has been towards me, or how generous he's been in mercy, gracious giving me the things I don't deserve, and merciful not giving me the things that I do deserve. There's been times in my life where I certainly did not deserve God's generosity, but he gave it. This is God's character. He gives generously. Second, generosity loosens the grip of materialism. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Generosity retrains our hearts. It reminds us that money is a tool and it's not meant to be a master. That possessions are temporary, but God's kingdom is eternal. And there's a deep joy in that freedom. When we put money back in the position that it was designed to be in, we're able to experience a new sense of freedom, which will lead to joy. Now, it's important to address a few misunderstandings, because generosity is often either distorted or avoided altogether. And I want to consider three thoughts here. First, generosity is not about earning God's love. You already have God's love in Jesus Christ. Secondly, generosity is not a prosperity formula. God is not a vending machine where you give money and expect wealth to return. Sometimes that's purported or put forth that, hey, if we give, God's going to return something. And there is a temptation, we all must admit, that we have this sense of feeling that I need to be giving so that God will give back to me. Or if I give this, God will give it to me. Or if I don't give it, then God's not going to provide for me. all of those work in the realm of the prosperity formula. And we need to understand that generosity is not a prosperity formula. Third, generosity is not limited to money. Yes, Scripture clearly teaches financial giving, but generosity also includes giving our time joyfully, using hospitality and encouragement and service and compassion. At its core, generosity is a posture of open-handed living. I read a quote last week where this guy said, "The reason that our fingers aren't connected is because when we hold things, it's supposed to let them fall through." Our fingers, being separate digits, allow us to let some fall through. It's a beautiful picture and analogy. You know, one reason that generosity can feel difficult is because it requires trust. Giving says, "God, I believe you are my provider." It says, "I trust you more than I trust what I can hold on to." And that's why generosity is such a powerful act of worship. Every time we give cheerfully, we are declaring, even if it's a quiet declaration, "God, you are enough." I want to offer a few gentle questions for reflection. And these aren't meant for guilt, but rather for growth. So let me offer you a couple of gentle questions. And wherever you are, whether you're driving or sitting, whether you're walking, would you consider the response to these questions? And there's three of them. First, when you think about giving, what emotions surface first? Do the emotions of joy and gratitude surface, or do you, when you think about giving a gift, a financial gift, does resistance and fear come to the surface? When you think about giving, what emotions surface first? Next, do you view generosity as a burden or a blessing? How do you view being generous? How do you look at it? Do you find that it's burdensome? Or do you view it as a blessing? This is an opportunity I have to reflect the heart of God and to demonstrate an act of worship. Number three, in what ways might God be inviting you to grow in joyful generosity this season? In what ways might God be inviting you to grow in joyful generosity this season? I had an amazing opportunity to witness the purity and the innocence of joyful generosity. Let me tell you a quick story. My son, Everett, my middle child, Everett, in his class at school, there's a group of boys, and they're a very tight-knit group of boys. They have this custom that every week on the same day, it's usually Friday, they all wear the same jersey. It's a sports team. And it's the same color, and it's the same number, and it is exactly the same. And so you've got, I think, about 9, maybe 10 boys that all wear the same shirt. But in that class, there's 2 boys, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because they simply haven't told their parents or their parents haven't been able to take action, but for whatever reason, there's 2 boys in that class that don't have the jersey. And so every Friday, when everyone else is wearing it, there's 2 boys in the group that are left out. And so my son, he said something. It was so impressive to me. I'm so proud. That's why I'm talking about it. He asked me and his mom, he said, "Hey, do you think it would be possible for us to order my friends a jersey so that they won't be left out?" We didn't even have to think about it. Absolutely, it's possible for us to order that jersey for those 2 boys. So we order the jersey, and this is where the joy of generosity was visible. When they shipped and they came in, and when they got there, my son, the first thing he did was he checked the mail, he pulled them out of the package, he took them and he wrote their names on the packaging, and he put it in his backpack. And you need to know, I'm dealing with a third grader here, and I don't know how your third graders are, but when they get home from school, they typically just throw their stuff wherever it may fall, and then they go about their day. And the last thing on their mind is getting their materials ready for the next day of school. But on this day, because he was so excited to give his friends something, The first thing he did was he set up his backpack. He put all of their, he put the two packages in his backpack so that they would be ready to go. And you could just see, you could see in his face, you could see in his eyes, he was beaming with enthusiasm because he was getting to give something that meant something. It's just a simple picture. He wasn't giving it reluctantly. I can't believe I've got to give it to these guys. Why are their parents not providing it, or why do they not have it? But he was thinking, I can't believe I get to do this, and I am so excited to give it to them because it's going to add a sense of value to their life. This is what happens when we give with the right heart. It's not a reluctancy or a compulsive problem. It's a heart issue. It's, I get to do something that reflects the character and heart of God. I get to add value to someone else's life. Through finances or through time, through compassion, in whatever way, I get to be generous. And it's going to be a blessing to someone. And what we discover when we give with a joyful heart, when we give with gratitude, what we discover is that we always walk away blessed. As you've worked to memorize 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 this week, let it challenge the why behind your giving, not just the what, but the why. Why are you giving, and how are you giving? Ask the Lord to shape your heart so that generosity becomes an overflow of joy, not an obligation of duty. So, here's a simple step for you this week. As the week closes out and we prepare for Sunday worship, today is Friday. You may be listening to this podcast at another time, but as we prepare for the weekend, as we wrap up this week in the Shaped by Scripture study, pray honestly about generosity, not just how much you give, but how you give. And ask God, if you have a reluctance, ask Him to replace it with joy. Ask Him to replace any fear about giving with trust. And ask Him to take away the pressure you feel and to replace it with gratitude. It's an incredible privilege that we have to give, and we don't want to miss it. So, I hope you'll take this with you today, and I want to thank you for listening to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. I encourage you to continue reflecting on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 today, and to ask God how He might shape your heart through generosity. Until next time, I pray you have a blessed day, and I pray that you continue to be shaped by Scripture.